Well, good morning. I hope you are well today. We're praying for you. Just a reminder, if you'd like to give tithes and offerings to the church during this time of pandemic, feel free to send your check to Keyser Falls Assembly of God, P.O. Box 128, Parsonsfield, Maine, 04047. And thank you for your continued faithfulness during these challenging times. Well, we are on week 3, talking about prayer. And if you would open up to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we're going to read from there this morning. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we will have the requests that we have asked of him. We've been talking about prayer these past few weeks, and we have come to understand that often learning to pray begins by asking for help when we are in need, especially when we are angry or in great pain. We also have talked about using the Lord's Prayer as a model, and we return once again to that model of prayer today as we ask the question, what should be or what is the desired outcome of prayer? For many of us, our hope as we pray is to get something, what we believe is needed or what we think we want. At times, it may be to receive answers or find relief from a situation. And as we have learned, it's not a wrong starting place to pray or to begin to pray. But getting something should also not be the end or only result from prayer. Let's say I ask for something as I pray, and then I receive it. Maybe I thank God for it and move along until next time I need something. Again, nothing wrong with asking. The Bible tells us 100 times over to go and inquire and ask of the Lord. But is this it? This cycle of asking and getting? Is this the point of prayer? We ask, we get, the end until next time? Because if it ends there, isn't God more or less a genie or Santa Claus? The Bible tells us to ask, seek, and knock in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. Yet in seeking, asking, and knocking, we find that our Heavenly Father answers, not a genie, nor a man dressed in red from the Arctic. So then, what's the difference? Why does this matter? Well, mythological characters, they often take orders from you. A father may very well give good gifts to his children, but a good father will also challenge you to grow. He will expect and maintain a healthy relationship with you. And a father, this is most important, has authority over his sons and daughters. And sometimes a good father says, wait, or even no, because he knows and understands better than his sons and daughters. And that should make a large difference in our understanding and who is in authority over whom. So in the Lord's Prayer, starting in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, Jesus instructs us to pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In the Lord's Prayer, before we are instructed to ask for our specific needs, we are called to submit to and ask for God's will above our own will. Your will, God's will, we mean, be done. But why? Because a father knows better than their children, or at least they should, and God our Father certainly does. Now, I've heard some people quote James chapter 4, verse 2b, you do not have because you do not ask. And this is true. Sometimes we neglect to go to God at all. It's what we talked about our first week on prayer. And yet the next verse clarifies and states in James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. God, give me, fill in the blank, whatever you're thinking of right now. How about a beach house? Now, is God going to answer that prayer? Well, it's possible. Maybe, nothing wrong with a beach house, but let's be honest. I could name it and claim it all day, but I have no real need for one. And it's quite possible the only reason I want a beach house is for my own vanity. God's answer might very well be, you want one? You better start saving, Phil. At the end of the day, I need to take everything to God, knowing He's smart enough to sift through the things I take to Him and remove what isn't very helpful for my spiritual and emotional growth. Those requests are, in fact, would actually hurt me in the end. And if not myself, they might hinder someone else's spiritual growth. Or maybe this thing I ask for, whatever it is a good thing, but should only come through a lesson or a process that needs to be understood, or it simply would hinder the greater plan God has for me, or my family, or this church family. The best part is, when the answer is no or wait, God doesn't always give us the reason. And I sometimes think He doesn't, because we wouldn't even understand the reason on this side of eternity if He did. The other day, my kids wanted to see a movie. It wasn't a bad movie, or, as I tell them, a naughty movie, but it wasn't something I was sure the younger ones were ready for. So I talked it over with Samantha, and the answer was simply no. But what did my kids ask next? Why? What did I say next? Because. Because you are not ready for it. And if you are a parent, you know that at a young age, if you try to explain to them why, they may not even be ready to hear those answers. Without getting into the details, there were reasons you want to avoid showing them the movie to begin with. There are bad words in the movie. And so my son asks, with complete sincerity, which ones? I told him, the ones we don't say. And even when you explain, there is only partial understanding, and sometimes the explanation leads to more frustration on their part. So what do? I end up having to say, as a parent, you need to trust me. Another example is I take my kids to the doctors to get them shots, and they think I want to hurt them. And so what did I do once? I actually sat there this one time, and I tried to explain germ theory. Of course, they didn't get it. My daughter was quite young, and she still thought Daddy was trying to hurt her. And sometimes I'm real mean. I gotta admit it, folks. My kids love climbing trees, and for the most part, that's fine. But I've warned them 2-3 times not to climb a particular tree in the backyard. After 3 times, one wouldn't listen. On the 4th time, I watched her disobey me. She soon found out Dad wasn't being an ogre. The tree was not good for climbing. She cut her arm coming down. Not bad, but enough to learn a lesson. And you know what she said to me when she came in? Why did you let me climb that tree? Some nerve, huh? Well, we call that tree the tree of the knowledge of good and evil now. I think I made my point. It's good to pray to your Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because sometimes, I think a lot of the time, my will and my desires are not great. They might just hurt me. And praying God's will is essentially saying, if anything I say after this is incredibly stupid, please ignore me, even if I whine after. 1 John 5, 14-15 is a guiding passage on this. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Here's another one, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. These passages are both telling us that we ask for God's will, God's plan, what is good for His kingdom. We come in line with what God is doing. And as we pray, we will become more aligned with what God wants and what is truly good, so that what God wills becomes what we want. He's never been a genie, but he's always been a good father. And it's not that the Lord disregards all the rest of your prayers. He doesn't. In his grace, he often answers them, yes. But priority, importance, is given to what is actually critical and necessary and good. And when we seek God's will, in the end, he will surely meet all those other things, if they are good for us, in his time and his way. And so back to the original question today, what should be or what is the desired outcome of prayer? The outcome is contentment in the Lord's will and building a healthier relationship with your Father in heaven. The outcome is faith to know and believe that he hears your prayer, responds to your prayer according to this will and purpose. That prayer changes things. It does. It changes situations, outcomes for the better, because God loves his sons and daughters, you and I very much. But what prayer first and foremost changes is you and I, our attitudes and our desires. Above and beyond all else, and whether you know it or not, that is a good thing, especially if you're anything like me, a little selfish. And praying for God's will changes our prayer from self-orientated requests that may injure us in the long term to prayer for the betterment of others and the will of God. I think the most self-evident example of this is the lottery. I know people who have prayed often what they perceived as a good thing. Lord, let me hit the jackpot. And yet, Time Magazine ran an article back in January of 2016 that reported 70% of multi-million dollar lottery winners are, drumroll please, miserable, and declare bankruptcy or go broke in the first few years after winning. I don't think we're even surprised by that, are we? Jack Whitaker won $315 million in 2002 and is quoted as saying, "I wish that I had torn the ticket up." Abraham Shakespeare is quoted as saying, "I have been better off broke." Sandra Haynes said about her family, "These are people who you've loved deep down, and they're turning into vampires trying to suck the life out of me." Donna Minkin, who won $34.5 million in 2007, "My life was hijacked by the lottery." And each goes into the horrid details of why in the article. And I bet they prayed for it. Better God's will than man's millions. Now let's move from the lighter part of this conversation to the heavier end of things. Because you and I both know prayer isn't always as cut and dry as those things we want versus God's desires. It's nice when they overlap. But sometimes we pray for things we know and sincerely believe must be God's will. And we know it's the right thing to pray for, like healing, protection, God's redemption for others. And yet sometimes those prayers are not answered the way we would like, nor in a way that we understand. There are not always neat and tidy answers to why God allowed someone to get sick or hurt or someone to hurt you. It's then we need to draw closer to Jesus and trust him even more. In a shattered world where people have at least a measure of free will, which is typically used, or at least oftenly used, destructively. In a world where sin and death are still real and constant, we know that we have a God who will one day bring an end to such pain and redeem and restore what has been lost and broken. We await that day, and we pray every day that a little more of heaven comes to earth until the day when all things are made right. It is an act of faith to know that our prayers will be made complete on that day that he returns. But until then, we only see and understand as looking through a glass darkly, knowing things will one day be made right. Sometimes, though, we are so torn that we don't know how to pray. I was visiting a very sick woman one time, and it had been an emotional and heartbreaking visit. It was the second or third time she was sick, and was in tremendous pain. We as a church family kept fervently praying for her healing, and for only reasons the Lord knew, she was not getting better. I believe God can and does heal. I've seen it in Scripture, in life, but I've also seen that sometimes he chooses not to. How do you pray for the Lord's will when you don't even know how to pray? Romans chapter 8, verses 24 to 28. For in this hope we are saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. In those moments, we have been given the Holy Spirit, who can and often will pray through us. Sometimes it's in the groans of pain. Sometimes it's in the tears. Sometimes it's in an unknown language. Whatever and however it comes, what gets us through these times is trust and closeness with Jesus, built on a foundation of constant and consistent kingdom-centered prayer. So, when the hardest situations hit, and we don't know how to pray, we can honestly pray for deliverance, healing, salvation, hope, and his will. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that means. Sometimes we say it with our words, and sometimes we say it with our groans and tears, and sometimes we say it through the power of the Spirit without even understanding what we just said. Yet always trusting him that he works out all of these things, and all these things together for good, according to his purpose. Trusting him even when it is hard. We pray the Lord's will in all things, and God will provide a way. What should be the desired outcome of prayer? The outcome is contentment in God's will, and a healthy relationship with your Father in heaven. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 4:11-19, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Verse 19, "And my God will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." This was not written by a man that had it all together, but by a man who, it looked like, had lost everything. He was imprisoned for sharing his faith, facing even death. And yet, despite what the outward situation looked like, he had a peace in the midst of a storm. He grew closer to God, knowing that Christ was working these things out. And in the end, he was safe in him. That even if it cost Paul his life, God would redeem him and restore all that had been lost better than before. New life, a resurrection from the dead, an eternal home with his Father and Savior. Many of you know my family story. Many of you know that Samantha suffers with ongoing medical issues that have more or less crippled her for months at a time. We thank God she is doing well at the moment. We pray she stays that way. We've prayed for an end to the disease, for a supernatural healing, for the right medicine, for wise doctors, and many, many times that I believe is, for many, many times, what I believe is God's will. And he has been gracious, no doubt there. But she continues to struggle. And I don't know why. What I do know is that God has heard every prayer. I do know that God has given grace to move forward and use these circumstances to redirect our lives in unforeseen yet wonderful directions. So I trust him. Samantha trusts him. And we still pray for healing. Yet knowing whether it is today or tomorrow or on the other side of eternity, he will heal her. But until that day, we pray. We trust for his kingdom come and his will be done. And he is not as a genie or old Saint Nick. He is as our good Father, who has a plan and will help us and will help you, as Philippians tells us. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So not to boast, God forbid, but to let you know, each of us bears some burden in this life. And whether it will be lifted in the here and now, or the later and then, we can pray for God's will. In verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, so that you and I can pray in sincerity and in trust the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We miss you, praying for you. Hopefully we will see you soon. God bless.